As believers in Christ, we celebrate the resurrection every week. If the resurrection is not true, think about it. If that's not true, then we have to call into question the entire Bible. The resurrection is the most important event to a believer in Christ, the most important event in all of history to a believer. The resurrection is why we gather on Sundays. We celebrate it every week, but on Easter Sunday, we really focus on the resurrection, and that's what we're doing today. Because Jesus is alive. Jesus is a risen Savior. We worship a risen Savior. We have confidence in this. We believe it. We trust it. Except when the doubts creep in. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When those doubts creep in, the doubts that you don't want to talk about. And I think doubts at one time or another in every person's life is something they deal with. And you can get the idea that you aren't supposed to talk about that in church. You're not supposed to admit that maybe you have a doubt or two or three. And if you grew up in church, perhaps you got the idea that expressing doubt in any way is somehow sinful. Well, it isn't sinful. God does call us to belief and to believe in Jesus. It's much more healthy to talk about your doubts, get them out in the open, and it's much more healthy to bring them to God in honesty before Him and ask Him to speak to those doubts. The title of today's message is Doubters Welcome. If you have doubts, even small doubts, this message is for you. We'll be in the Gospel of John chapter 20. And that's about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, if you'd like to turn there, or you can tap there on your screen. John chapter 20 in just a few minutes. And if you're doing the flip thing, you're new to the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, slow down at Luke, you'll find John. If you see Acts, you've gone a little too far. The Gospel of John chapter 20. In your life, if you are in absolute total doubt, or you're in total confidence in Jesus, or somewhere in between those two spots, you're in the right place today. Know that Jesus understands your doubts. He knows about them. And He takes you as you are right now. You don't have to get cleaned up for Him. He takes you as is. We're going to look at a story today where one of the followers of Jesus, in other words, the followers that walked with Him on this earth in person, one of the followers doubted the resurrection, and if someone who knew Jesus personally in the flesh was able to doubt some things, it's not surprising that some of us who have never seen Him, not in person, might have some doubts as well. If you were here at the early service, the youth did a great job in leading us in worship. They had a skit to remind us and to focus us on the resurrection, and even touched on the story that I'll be reading in a moment. They did a great job, by the way. Jesus rose from the dead in the very early morning hours on a Sunday. And that same night, so the same day, Jesus appeared to the remaining original 12 disciples, except Judas had already, he was already dead. And for some reason, Thomas, one of the disciples, wasn't there. And maybe, I don't know if he went off to get pizza or some kind of errand or whatever he did, but Thomas wasn't there and he missed the appearance of Jesus. They were in a room and the room was locked and Jesus shows up. It was a miracle. And they told him about it. Well, let's just read the story. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, and I hope that God speaks to you through His Word. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." And that happened on that same day of the resurrection in the evening time. But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again. So we've got the resurrection Sunday, the next Sunday, and this is the next day after that. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, And by the way, the doors were locked, both the previous week and this time, because they were fearful of their lives. If they could get to Jesus, they could kill Jesus. What's going to happen to us? So they're in hiding. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me."
My name is Thomas, and I struggle with doubt. I followed Jesus for years, from the very first day he called me. I saw things so amazing they defied explanation. I believed. But then things fell apart. I witnessed the betrayal that led to the cruel march to Calvary and his agonizing crucifixion. I survived, but everyone I knew scattered. My world collapsed. Then came news of the empty tomb, the very first Easter. But I resisted. The image of his broken, lifeless body was still burned into my memory. I experienced his death. Then I couldn't believe. Not until I see the scars with my own eyes and touch them with my own hands, I told the others. I wasn't ready to put my trust in something again. But Jesus came to me. He knew my doubts. He even named them. But he wasn't angry. He didn't rebuke me or dismiss me. He looked at me with those familiar eyes and offered me his scarred hands and side. In that moment, I experienced his resurrection, and I believed. I know firsthand it's difficult to believe in what you can't see. And yet all around you are people whose lives and stories have scars that bear witness to the meaning of Easter. Yes, these people have been wounded, but they've experienced redemption and healing through Jesus. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were meant to rescue the doubters, the debtors, and the broken. People like you and me. He met my doubts with grace and love, and he only asked one thing of me. Believe.
All the things that you've thought about, the things you've read about in the Gospels, Thomas got to see in person. Wouldn't you have loved to see the miracles and the healings and listen to the teaching and have that personal, one-on-one, in-person relationship with Jesus? And yet, Thomas couldn't believe this. Raised from the dead? Come on. He's alive. He would not believe, even though the other apostles, they were good friends, he wouldn't believe them. There's no way that Jesus is really alive. Because Thomas knew that Jesus had really died and they put him in a tomb. Most of us like to have clear lines drawn before we're going to believe something. Missouri is nicknamed the Show Me State. I'm like that for sure. Show me it's true. Give me some proof, and I'll think about believing you. I think Thomas would have made a good Missourian. Those of us that know Jesus, we all have a story of how we came to him, and that those stories are different from person to person. But maybe you could look back in your life, and at some point in the past, you believed in Jesus, you put your faith in Christ, and you just never looked back and never went kind of to the right or the left. Then others of us in this room had a bumpy road until we got to that point of full belief in Jesus. And the road was full of twists and turns and rocks in the road. And some of you here this morning, you're not there yet. You can't say you fully believe in Christ. Your doubts are too great at this point. But that's okay, because doubters are welcome here. I'm glad you're here. I'm at a point in my life now where I fully believe, but I went the bumpy road route. So if you went the bumpy road route, I can attest to that and understand how you got there. In my head, when I was 14 years old, I gave mental ascension to the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead and he was who he said he was and the claims of Jesus. But it really was an intellectual belief. There was no change in my life. There was nothing came over me. There was no action that went along with that confession of faith. And as a matter of fact, that same year, I began to rebel against God and lived away from him for 10 years. And then at age 24, 10 very, very bumpy years later, it connected one evening. It connected the head and the heart. All of it just, the light came on for me. And I believed fully, and that's when my life was changed. Jesus changed me. That's my testimony. God was patient with me and my doubts and my unbelief and my rebellion. He took me as I was back then. And many of you can relate to something like that. In his grace, he fully revealed himself to me when I was 24 years old. Thomas, he had some level of belief before the crucifixion. He followed Jesus. He invested his life. He spent roughly 3 years with him. But he didn't fully confess Jesus as Lord until the story we just read together in John chapter 20. Thomas had a bumpy road, didn't he? It was 8 days of a bumpy road. My road was 10 years of a bumpy road. But the time that elapses on that bumpy road, that doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is this, that Jesus gave Thomas grace until he fully believed. And the same with me. God was patient with me until that day in October of 1987. I want you to notice something in the story. Think back what we read. Jesus shows up in this room knowing ahead of time all of Thomas's doubts, and if you have doubts, he knows about them. You can't hide them from Jesus. He knows about the doubts Thomas had, and he didn't come in there and start laying facts on him and try to logic himself through this thing. He didn't start throwing scriptures out, and sometimes Jesus did use scriptures, but he didn't in this case and try to, hey, Thomas, look at all these scriptures. See how wrong you are. What he did do was to simply offer himself to Thomas at the right time. So Thomas brings this mixture of doubt and belief to Jesus. And if we're all honest, at least at some points in our lives, we all have this mix of doubt and unbelief, or doubt and belief. And maybe your doubts are about the resurrection. I don't know. Like Thomas, he just didn't believe it. He didn't think this was possible. And maybe it's something else in the Word or something that's been taught to you over the years through a church that you struggle with. You have a hard time accepting it. I believe that Jesus will offer himself to you just like he did with Thomas, just like he did with me, if you're asking him to, if you're seeking him. Now, the Lehman family earlier in the service, they sang a song about a moment of grace, which was the title of the song as well. A moment of grace. And that looks different from person to person to person. You know about Thomas and his moment of grace. You know a little bit about my moment of grace. And there are many, many people in here that could tell you their story and where they experienced their moment of grace. I believe that God has a moment of grace for everyone who seeks him. In the Gospel of Mark, we won't turn there right now, but if you want to look it up when you get home, it's in Mark chapter 9. There was a man who had a son. He loved his son, but the son was possessed by an evil spirit. And he was causing all sorts of trouble for himself and his family. And the man brings the son to Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus, hoping Jesus could do something about it. And Jesus tells him, you need to believe. Tells the dad this, you need to believe. And the man answered with one of the most honest responses in all the Bible. I love his response. He said, I do believe, Jesus. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. Man, that's so honest. And that was that man's moment of grace. He brought the belief that he had and admitted he had unbelief with it. And Jesus healed his son. His son was in his right mind. It's no accident that you're here today. God knew you would be here. Maybe it's not for this message, but for something else. God knew you would be here. And I hope that he's spoken to you today. Even if we had a doubting contest and you won the doubting contest and you have the most doubts of anyone else in this room, God knew you would be here today. And I want you to know that God loves you and he offers himself to you. The last verse in our story, can we bring that up again, Dean? The last verse in our story, John 20, verse 29. Jesus told him, he's speaking to Thomas. Jesus told Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Even if you're sitting there and you think, I have a tiniest bit of belief. You're not even sure what you believe, but you have a little bit of belief. You are already blessed. Even with your doubts, you're still blessed. Jesus cares, and he offers himself to you. So go on the belief you have, just like Thomas did, and I believe Jesus will reveal himself to you just like he did for Thomas, just like my moment of grace. And even if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, sometimes doubts creep up. It's normal. It happens to people. Bring those doubts to Jesus. Take comfort in the fact that Thomas doubted. And know that you are blessed. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, or you're not sure where you stand with him, and maybe you have some belief and it's mixed in with all this other stuff, maybe you want to be more serious about following Jesus. Today's your chance. Now is your chance. Jesus is God. He became a human being and experienced all of life just like you have, all the good things and the bad things, the hard things and the fun things. Jesus lived, he taught, he did the miracles, he performed healings, and he claimed to be the promised Messiah. And he also made the claim that he was the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven. He didn't say he knew the way, he said he was the way. He never sinned, but the religious leaders didn't like the things that he was saying and doing. And so they arrested him. They put him through a mock trial. They beat him. And they nailed him to a cross like a criminal. And he died on that cross. And he was buried. And 3 days later, very early on a Sunday morning, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the Bible tells us there were many witnesses. It wasn't just these 11 guys that saw him alive. The Bible says hundreds of witnesses to the resurrected Christ. God says that his death is sufficient for the payment of your sins. And God says that the resurrection of Jesus guarantees your resurrection if you know him. God says that you need to believe in the name of Jesus, in his claims, and in his resurrection. The Apostle Paul talked about salvation and how to come to Christ. And he made a very, very simple yet profound statement. And you can find it in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9. And in that verse it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So are you ready to do that? Are you ready to place your full faith in Jesus, to have your moment of grace with him? Bring all your doubts to him. The worship team is going to lead us in another song. You could sit, you could stand, don't worry about what other people are doing. You can listen, sing, not sing, whatever you want to do, it's your choice. But the prayer team, we've got a couple of members of the prayer team that will come up here. I'll be up here. If you want to pray, we're not going to tell you how to live your life or give you advice. We just want to pray with you. But during this song, I encourage you, come to Jesus.